We need you here. And you're on.
Okay, thank you. Hi, my name is Bill. I'm an adult child, fellow traveler. I've been in 12-step programs for a while. I've come from AA. I got sober in 1993, and I've been to Al-Anon. I've done step work. I've done a lot of service work. When I came in here, it was as a last resort. I was not happy in my sobriety. I was physically sober, okay? I hadn't had a drink or drug for decades. I had gone to Al-Anon to learn how to, what I thought was how to be in relationships, but it just wasn't working. My feeling was basically like to be a frog and sit, that expression they say, you take a frog, you put it in cold water, you turn the heat up, and it won't leave. It'll stay in that water until it gets cooked alive. And that's how I felt about my relationships. My relationships were painful. They weren't happy. They weren't connective. They weren't something that I wanted to be in. They were painful. And I struggled to maintain them. And it seemed like all the people that I was with, eventually, in one way or another, either they abandoned me or I abandoned them. And I just didn't understand why. Because I was trying so hard to maintain them. I was trying so hard to get people to like me. I was trying so hard not to have people leave me. And I would do whatever it took. I tried to fix you. I tried to bend into a pretzel to please you. Whatever you needed, I would do it. I would do whatever you wanted. Please just don't leave. And that's all because of the abandonment issues from my childhood. They just weren't there. I mean, technically they were there. I kind of had a roof over my head when I wasn't being evicted from place to place. I kind of had a family that loved me and took care of me, because, there was food that I had and stuff like that. But for the most part, I was on my own. There was lots of trauma in my childhood, violence, sexual stuff, I constantly lose stuff. I was never in a place longer than 9 months before we had to be moving to someplace else because my father was a vicious, angry drunk who didn't have know how to be responsible. So I had no security or anything like that. I was basically on my own. I was being raised by, wild people. Okay, wolves as they call them. Everyone was looking out for themselves. No one was looking out for each other, so to speak. My mother basically was dealing with my stepfather, who was he beat me. He beat her and beat me when I tried to protect her. He was sleeping with people all the time. I would catch him in bed with another woman. It was just a mess. It was just a mess. There was never enough money. There was never enough anything. And I had to. And as a child, I was always the first one to deal with all this stuff. I come home and see the eviction notice. I come home to see the power off. I come home to see the telephone off. I was always the first person to deal with these things. And as a child, there shouldn't be that. So, they dropped me off at my grandmother's on a regular basis. When they dropped me off at my grandmother's, it was usually for like, sometimes it'd be for 2 weeks, sometimes it'd be for a month. The longest they dropped me off at my grandmother's was 2 years. And I always thought that I was doing something wrong, that they didn't want me, that I wasn't a good kid, and that's why they were leaving at my grandmother's. I didn't realize that as a child, it was because they had no place else to go. We were homeless. And they had to put me somewhere as a kid. You don't realize that as a child. You don't know that that's the problem. You don't realize that that's the situation, but that's what the situation was. So, when you don't tell the kid doesn't know what's going on, you don't know what to do. You pick up these traits that we have in the laundry list because we need something to hold on to, something to use as a tool to protect ourselves, to keep our sanity, to basically give us some sort of hope. If I can protect myself, no one can hurt me. If I can do certain things to keep me in a place of security, which isn't really security, but we don't know how to do that as children. We have no clue. But you do what you have to do to try to survive. It was pure survival. It wasn't about anything other than that. So I didn't have the tools as an adult to deal with adult life on life's terms. I drank, I drugged, I did all these other things. I was promiscuous. I wanted to feel happy. I wanted to feel wanted. I wanted to feel needed. So, sleep with as many people as you possibly can because that's temporarily some sort of love. But it wasn't love. But I don't know what love is, because I didn't have anyone to show me what love, healthy love was. So if you don't know what healthy love is, how can you repeat what you know, not what you believe to be? And no one told me what it was. So I wandered out there, and on top of that, I was sexually molested by dozens of women outside of my own family. So I thought that was it. I mean, that was the model I had. That's not a decent model, but that's the model I had. And I'm sorry if that triggered people, but I'm just giving that as an example of what was going on. So I got sober because, I was drinking and stuff like that, and that got out of hand. It didn't work anymore to fix the pain. Okay, so then I got sober because that was getting worse than the pain. And then after that, I felt the pain. The pain was just right there in front of my face. So I was like, well, maybe I'll do the steps, do all this other work. Maybe I'll be of service. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do this. It was like playing whack-a-mole. What can I do to make the pain go away? I'll try this. I'll try this. I'll try this. I'll try this. And after being in sobriety for a while and only having moments of happiness, I was about to give up. I was like, this is enough. I can't do this anymore. If this is what it's going to be, if I'm going to be in all this pain, what the hell? Screw it. I'll drink. I'll drug. At least then I had some relief. I was in a blackout and didn't feel anything. So I went to my sponsor. I said, basically, I'm in trouble. I'm going to drink. I don't care anymore. And he said, what's going on? And I told him what was going on. And he said, listen, I'm going to read something. It's called the laundry list. And I read the laundry list. And there it was in writing. All the things I was suffering from, all the pain, all the things I was trying to do to get my life to be better. And I asked him, I said, why haven't you told me about this? And he said, you weren't ready yet. I mean, you still had, before you could do the laundry list, you first had to get sober, mental, physically and spiritually. And I thought, you're okay. You weren't sharing anything with me, so I thought you were okay. I said, no, I just put up that front. I was the person I thought people wanted me to be. Again. So I said, I can't do this anymore. Help me out. He said, well, we'll work on this. And we started doing the work. And I did the work with him, with the step work in the 12 steps of adult children. And I read the red book, big red book. I could only do like a paragraph. And then had to put it down and digest what I read. I was like, Jesus, this whoever wrote this, they know me. They know my life. It's like they were following me around and they wrote things down that was going on in my life. And I was like, wow. Finally, someone that understands all of what I went through, not just the drinking and the drugging, but the whole pizza, the whole thing. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to talk about the recovery that I've been working on. Okay, we all know what this, why we're here, what we've been through. So I'm going to talk about some of the things I did with the Loving Parent Guidebook. Okay, I think that's a great book for people to start with. The big red book, it's a little, it's got a lot of information there, but it's kind of hard when you come in here. And I did it with a group of people, five of us. There were five of us that got together and we went through that book. And it took us about 2 years to go through it, but we got through it. And no one left. Everyone stayed. And we shared. So I'm going to read some of the stuff out of this. I'm going to share my recovery, my actual recovery with you. Okay. So, critical parent. Hello. Critical parent was my mom. Okay. My mom didn't have a lot of time or space to deal with me as a child. Okay. Or parent me. All she had was the ability to point out the guardrails. Don't do this, don't do this. And when I did that and it was wrong, she would tell me I was wrong. I did the wrong thing. It was always criticizing me, but it wasn't out of hatred. It wasn't to be unkind. It was the best she could do based on where she was. So all she could do is basically tell me what, that when I did, I don't want to say wrong, but when I did something that was, that hurt me as a child, she would tell me that what I did was wrong and I shouldn't do it. So all I ever heard in my head was my critical parent. I never had a loving parent. I never knew what a loving parent was. So I repeated that. I came in here and I realized that, Bill, you need to be nourished. You need to be someone that has to tell you you're doing well, to appreciate you, to congratulate you. And I never had that. I tried to have that. My idea of being a good kid was to be quiet, to not cause a problem, to be invisible. That's what I thought would be a good kid was. And that's what I did. I was invisible, And then the other part of being a good kid was to be accepted, to be a part of. I didn't want to stand out because as a child, when you stand out, you get picked on. So I wanted to be small, to be with the herd. Because as long as I was small with the herd, I was safe. But if I tried to go do things outside of the herd, then I became a target. Kids are vicious. Okay, we just are. So the critical parent I realized wasn't the parent I wanted. I wanted a loving parent. And I had to learn how to parent myself. And the way I learned how to parent myself was I learned how not to parent my son. The way I parent my son was the way I parented my I was parented. And I would tell him things like, if you get straight B's, I'll do this. He didn't get straight B's, so I said, I'm not going to do that. How is that? That's not parenting. That's punishing. And I was told by his mother that, what the hell am I doing? You don't do that to a kid. He's outside crying right now because he did the best he could, but it wasn't good enough for you. And you said you wouldn't do something for him. And now he's out in the yard crying. That's not how you parent. So I realized I had to parent my own son differently. I had to give him love. I had to basically tell him whatever he tried to do, it was good. Thing was, I had almost lost him. Okay. I actually had him come and stay with me for a summer. And he said, Bill, said Dad, actually, but I'm saying Bill. He said, Dad, I gave up on you. I gave up on you. And Mom told me to come visit you and stay with you. And he was angry, so very angry with me. And I sat him down and I said, listen, let's talk. And that was my amendment to him. I basically said, this is what happened to me as a child. This is what occurred. And I realized what I did wasn't the right way to parent you. And I'm going to try better. And this is what I'm trying to do now. And this is the program I'm in. And I said, is there anything you want to say to me? And he said a few things. I said, no, really. Whatever you're holding on to, let it go. Because if you don't let it go, we're not going to be able to get together. And he went at me like he just told me everything that was hurting and hurt him. And I sat there and listened, and it broke my heart. But it gave him an opening to start healing. And while he was here for about 6 months. He would argue about everything. I told him how much memory was on my cell phone. He argued me about that it wasn't, that it didn't, it was wrong. Everything I said was wrong. Nothing I said was right. He fought me tooth and nail on everything because he was just that angry. And I let him. I didn't fight back. I didn't try to explain. I didn't make excuses. I let him say what he needed to say. And after it was done, he went traveling. He went to see his family on the side and everything else. And then he finally, by the end of the trip, when I was putting him back on the plane to send him home, he said, Dad, I'm sorry. I was just so angry. And I said, I know. And he said, I love you. I said, I love you too. And we made a lot of progress. Still not perfect. There's still a lot of stuff he has to deal with, but I learned how to reparent him. And reparenting him, I learned how to reparent myself. That's how I went through that whole scenario, just to let you know. So after that, I had to discover who my inner teen was, because apparently there's an inner teen. Okay. And my inner teen, I realized my inner teen was my protector of my inner child. And my inner teen basically was a problem solver. Okay. If there was a problem that came up, he stepped forward. I detached, the inner child detached, and inner teen stepped forward and he solved the problem, whatever it was. Okay. No power. Call mom up and let her know the electric goes off. Okay. There's an eviction notice on the door. Okay. Well, you need to get your stuff so you can go to school. You need to get your school books. You need to get clothes. So talk to the whoever it is so you can get in the house and get that stuff. And also get, jewelry that your mom has and stuff like that so you can get by. That's what the problem solver did, my inner teen. My inner teen was also a person who tried to control everything. Because if I could control everything, then maybe I couldn't get hurt by that thing, whatever that may be. And I took that control into my adulthood. I always wanted to be the guy in control. I always wanted to be the leader. I always wanted to be the person who handled everything. Because if I'm handling everything, if I'm controlling everything, then you can't hurt me. Okay. I also was always planning, always trying to manage. Okay. I absolutely was resolutely believing that there was no one available to help me ever. I could only help myself. I was always seeking affirmation from outside of myself. I was never secure enough to believe that I was enough, that I could do it, that I was okay. Relationships were all fear about fear, distrust, and abandonment feelings. Those are my relationships. So I'm going to read some of the stuff I actually worked on, okay, because everything was about security, fear, and abandonment. That was who I was, and that's what I worked on, those things. Okay. I'm going to read some of the stuff I wrote down. I am angry. I did not have the support I needed to be heard, seen, and happy. I am angry. I did not have the stability to be secure emotionally, financially, and relationships. I wish I could have been able to develop my true identity rather than the identity I thought would keep me from being abandoned. Because of the trauma of my childhood, I skipped being a child and the healthy emotional development of learning personal interactions and interrelationships. I became a pseudo adult capable of quickly reading people and their motives. I had to protect myself, and that's how I protected myself. I problem solve and become emotionally detached during crisis situations. That was very apparent during 9/11. I was working in downtown Brooklyn, sorry, downtown Manhattan. When 9/11 happened, I was working right down a block away from World Trade Center. When I got home, I said, I need to do something. So I wanted to donate blood. So I went to the neighboring hospital and I walked into the emergency room, downtown Brooklyn. And I said, I want to donate blood. And I talked to the head emergency ER doctor. And he said, we're not doing that here. Okay. We're sending people to downtown Brooklyn to donate blood. And he looked at me and he said, can you handle that? And I said, sure. And I walked outside. By this time, there's a bunch of people outside looking to do something too. And I walked out and they knew I went in to talk about donating blood. Now a crowd has started to gather. And I said, listen, we're not going to donate blood here. We're going to donate blood someplace else. And I said, I need some people to stay here to tell people that at the entrances. And I said, does anyone have a printer? And someone said, I have a printer. I said, could you do me a favor? We're going to be going to the blood donation center in downtown Brooklyn. I need someone to print out the directions to get there. And someone did. And then I said, I need everyone else to come down to the main street, which is Clinton Street. And what I started doing was people started lining up. I got the person with the printed out the addresses. And what I did was I stepped out and I was stopping cars. And I said, listen, can you drive people over to donate blood? And they would say yes. And I would give them the directions, load the car up, and send them on their way. That's what I do. I fix problems. I don't panic. I just do it because you panic doesn't save you as a child. You quickly figure out what's going on and you take the action to protect yourself. And I took that into my adulthood. Some of these character traits are helpful if you're healthy emotionally. Some are not. Okay. That was just an example. Okay. I also talked about to reflect on what I needed from my own parents to feel safe and confident, because that's how I wanted to reparent myself, to know what I needed. Letting go of my laundry list traits allows me to both grow closer to the promises and embrace being a loving parent to myself and to others. My critical parent does not have to parent me by pointing out what I do when I do something wrong or lectures me on how to become a better person. Whenever I messed up, I beat myself up over and over and over. And I would think of all the different things I could have done differently. And it goes on and on and on like that, relentlessly. Okay? By keying into my controlling, fixing, and abandonment behavior, I can quiet the need of my inner teen to and critical parents need to control and allow my loving parent to referee. I had to learn to get these parts of myself under control, because if I didn't, it would be I couldn't. I had to integrate the different parts of my persona. I had to basically know who to listen to, who not to listen to. I had to basically say to my inner teen, I appreciate you trying to help, but I got this under control. There's a different way of doing this other than controlling and manipulating. And it took me a while to do that. Took me a while to do that. Okay. I also started doing things that they said you should have affirmations. Okay, so I wrote down some affirmations. I'm going to read those affirmations to you. It is okay to be yourself. It is okay to excel. It is okay not to like people. It is okay not to be liked by others. It is okay to be alone. It is okay to be smart. It's okay to want more. It is okay to love and to seek your equal and wait for her. It is okay not to fix people. It is okay not to always be in control. It is okay to let go. You know, this is interesting. They asked you to write this. I was always all alone. There was a light, which was my potential, and the dark, which was my life. I was barely seen. I was hiding from the world and the pain, the fear. Looking at my inner kid, I could see the promise that wasn't to be. I thought no one was there for me, but I survived. Maybe not thrive, but hope was never extinguished. I found the little joys, the little moments of kindness. Times I found happiness. Those moments I held on to, they were all I had. I learned that loneliness was safety, not something to dread, but sought. When I was alone, I was safe. I could create my own fantasy world in those moments. For that ability to escape, I am truly thankful for. God, thank you for a way out of the pain, and now a way to be healed and to become whole. That was when I got into these rooms, to actually become whole and healed. It goes on. Help me heal to become whole and not withholding of my love, friendship, and let me be safe and secure enough to let people in, to see me being vulnerable, fearful, and unsure, to become unencumbered by my childhood prison of protective character traits that no longer serve me but keep me from happiness, from the happiness I deserve. Guide me, protect me, nurture me, love me. I had to understand why I was here, and that's why I wrote that. I had to know where I came from and where I wanted to be, where I was going. Okay, this is something else I wrote. I'm just reading you exactly what I wrote from the Loving Parent Guidebook. This was how I became the person I am today, or trying to become a better person or healed person. I will discover my real identity by loving and accepting my true self. My self-esteem will increase as I no longer seek outside approval. I will no longer seek approval from authority figures for my self-worth. I will no longer fear allowing people to know my truth, my fears, and my weaknesses. By embracing and understanding my own abandonment issues, I will become whole and be attracted to others who are the same. I will seek acceptance with who I am, where I am, and how I am doing right here, right now. I will allow myself to be playful with those I trust and feel safe. I will develop an inner circle of people I will let in to help me succeed and support me in my time of need, no matter, no more self-isolation. I selfishly was keeping my friends who love and care for me out. I didn't feel that anyone was safe, even the people who saw who I was, who wanted to help and wanted to be there for me. I wouldn't let them. And that was selfish. But it wasn't selfish. It was me trying to protect myself. I will accept people for who they are now, not who I want them to be. This will stop me from fixing them and simply accept them. If I want people to accept me, I have to accept them for who they are now, not who I want them to be. I can't be doing things to get them to like me. Because if they don't like me, why am I with them? I need to be willing to not be afraid of success. My truth is to be owned, not avoided, because I do not wish to be abandoned. My true friends will celebrate my success. You know, trying to stay in the herd, trying to stay small. Where's the reward in that? There is no reward in that. The reward is being myself, my true self. And reward is people will love my true self, will like my true self. And I don't have to sit there and constantly check in with them to see where they are with who I am. I will drill down to my childhood traumas and their cause and effect, and with my fellow travelers, free myself from the self-imposed wall of protective behaviors against harm from others that applied as a child but not as an adult. In my loving parent, you know, guide, you know, the work group that I had, I got to open up to these people and share the pain that I was going through. And we shared the pain together. And then that as a group, we healed together. I will no longer fear failure or expect it. Nor will I self-sabotage and attempt to control the damage of the failure I believe I foresee. Instead, I will expect only the best and believe that any stumble is a learning experience to help me grow. If things were going well, that didn't feel right. My childhood was never about things going well. It felt uncomfortable. So I would self-sabotage to feel uncomfortable. Because I know that. I know how to handle that. I know how to maneuver in that. But success, happiness, that's foreign. That doesn't feel right. I want to feel right. And to feel right is to sabotage because I wanted things to fail. To nurture myself, I said the promises, affirmations I created, I have strengthened my nurturing of my inner children. I pay attention to my inner children talk to me through my body. I learn to listen to my body. My body tells me when things are going wrong. I feel all of the tension and fear in my back. The small of my back tenses up, and when I feel that, I know there's something going on that's triggering my inner child. Something that happened to me as a child and I feel now is repeating as an adult. And when that happens, I pause. I stop, pause, and review the actions that lead to this discomfort, then drill down to the childhood trauma that is connected to it. And then reparent myself and saying, Bill, relax. This is different. This is something else. You can handle this. I protect myself, okay? When I crave the attention from someone I care about and don't get it, I can go into an emotional bottom. The issue of rejection and abandonment kicks in. To prevent that from happening, I have to maintain boundaries that communicate this person has other people in their life, not just me. Having expectations projecting causes self-imposed pain. Build a larger network of people to reach out to. Draining people are to be avoided, but helping when asked is encouraged. Give and take, but not against your own self-interest. Many times, I would give and give and give with the hope that I would get. That expectation, when it wasn't met, caused me to spiral out of control into abandonment. I had to learn not to do things to have expectations of return love. And when I stopped doing that, there's no longer any, I don't want to say give and take or anything else, but with no, this, a future tripping was dangerous for me. Because when you have expectations that aren't met, where does that lead? Not to happiness. And as far as support, in my new roles, okay, I allowed myself to be seen as I truly am. The response for most people has been positive. It has allowed me to no longer be small, but right size. There is still uncomfortability, but with practice and real encounters, that uncomfortability is leaving. It's not easy to be seen. It's not easy to be vulnerable. But unless I start doing that on a regular basis, I will not heal. I will not become comfortable with that. Okay, let's talk about 12 minutes. So this is the process I went through to get to a point where I feel secure, safe, not vulnerable, and not abandoned. The only time it was noticed was when something wrong occurred. Then my mother addressed this by being the critical parent and pointing out the correct behavior, not looking at the cause behind the wrong behavior. The look was frustration, anger, and exhaustion. I felt like a burden, like I was a problem that needed to be dealt with efficiently and quickly because more important things had to be addressed. I only showed emotions during recognized celebrations. Otherwise, my emotions were not to be shared, but dealt with and handled by myself. I was not allowed to be needy. I had to be self-sufficient, not a burden. When I was a burden, I was shuttled off to my grandparents. That's what I believed. Now I listen to that child and sense when my inner children need attention by listening to my body. You don't have to hide your feelings. You can feel your feelings, all of them, without being ashamed. Okay, and I'm just about done here with this, and then I'll just wrap this up. The path to happiness is to be yourself, to be true to yourself, to do the things you want to do that bring you joy, to be with people who encourage you, and to accept you now for who you are. You do not have to show people anything. Just be you. You want to just be the who you want to be, but be all that you can be. In doing this, you free yourself from the limits, from limiting. Don't talk. Don't trust. Don't feel. Embrace your gifts. In doing so, you will attract others like yourself. They will not abandon you. They will accept you and want to share with you the things you have in common. You will create a community of love without conditions. The unconditional love and acceptance you did not get and need but needed as a child. Take down the walls you use to protect yourself from pain. These walls are no longer helpful. But the recreation, but the recreation of your lonely child. You're reproducing the abandonment again, but this time you are the one creating the pain by pushing people away. I realized that as an adult child, not even adult child, as an adult child, I was basically abandoning myself. I was repeating the same damage again by abandoning myself again, and but I was doing it myself. Coming into these rooms of ACA, I learned to I basically took down those walls and tried to learn how to be someone who was okay in my own skin. We always talk about that, feeling okay in our own skin. But I didn't know how to do that. And in ACA, I'm surrounded by people who were going through the same thing like I'm going through, just like in AA. Everyone understood the whole drinking problem. In ACA, when I started sharing about the stuff that was going on and I grieved that child, I always disassociated. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. That was something that happened to that kid. That wasn't me. And what happened to me as a kid, I know about it. I understand it. I don't have to worry about that anymore because knowledge is power, right? No, it's not. No, it's not. Okay. Knowing that I had abandoned, had trauma as a child is something that I still had to deal with as an adult. I didn't think I had to deal with it, but it was still affecting me as an adult. And when I finally decided to start dealing with that, when I finally started to start acknowledging and connecting the dots, this happened as a child, and now I'm doing this as an adult so that what happened to me as a child doesn't happen anymore. That's not being me. That's reacting. Okay, I don't want to react to life. I want to be in life and actually thrive in life. I want to not be in control, but be myself. I want to pull down the triggers, all these triggers, all these different rules that I have for myself to try to figure out how to live my life safely rather than just live my life. So ACA has basically started to show me how to live my life without boundaries. Now, the boundaries I do have now are boundaries with other people. Those boundaries are so I don't become codependent. Those are the boundaries I now put up. Those are the boundaries where I'm not trying to fix other people. Those are the boundaries where I'm not trying to control other people. Those are the boundaries that I have. I don't try to. One of the things I used to do all the time was take people down a notch to get above them, to feel secure. I don't have to do it anymore. I can actually be nice to people. I can actually. That my parents were to other people. I can glorify in their success. I can be there for them when they have their failures. I can support.
Bill, I can hear me, but you're freezing.
Well, you know what? This program has been a process, and that process has been very rewarding. I feel safe, I feel secure, I feel integrated, and I feel whole. For the first time, I have security and happiness that I haven't known before. I feel comfortable in my own skin. I feel happy. I feel I'm moving away from the laundry list and closer to the promises day by day. A lot of things that used to happen to me are no longer happening to me. The things that used to affect me don't longer have power over me. And this is the gift of this meeting. This meeting has given me that gift, the gift of being able to handle situations that used to baffle me. But more importantly than anything else, I now know how to have healthy relationships, which is what I always wanted in the first place. My name is Bill, and I am a happy, I don't say happy. I'm a fellow traveler and an adult child. ACA has been a gift. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for coming back.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
You
Thank you,
good
Bill.
job. Great
Thank you.
share.